This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're in the bullpen with Adam the Bull on the BetRivers Network.
From downtown Rocky River, welcome on into the bullpen. I am your host, Adam the Bull. In case you couldn't tell already, I'm screaming and yelling. I'm a lunatic as I normally am. Welcome on into the latest live edition of the Bullpen with Adam the Bull, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Coming up, it is draft day in the NFL. For many years, many years, draft day meant what? You know what it meant? It meant that you were celebrating Christmas or Happy New Year or opening day, whatever. It was always a huge day here in Cleveland. But the last few years, it's not been. The Browns haven't had a first-round pick the last couple of years, and the Browns do not have a first-round pick this year. They do have their first-round pick next year. But is it possible that the Browns might trade up into the first round? Is it possible they might trade up within the second round? As of now, the Browns not scheduled to pick till 54, which is tomorrow. Thanks to everybody for joining us live. Please send me a message in the chat, and I will respond to your answers there. Or you can click on the link, which we'll send out in just a second, and you can join me live and be on air. Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com will get his her take on the Browns and what she expects them to do in the 2024 NFL Draft. Coming up at 2:15. But I do want to start with what's going on right now. First of all, if you're joining me live and you're unable to watch the Guardians game or listen, well, I appreciate that you're with me. Guardians off to a great start this afternoon. They lead 5-0 in the rubber game of the three-game set with the Boston Red Sox. Guardians scoring 5 runs in the bottom half of the second inning. Will Brennan hit a solo shot. And then a grand slam by Jose Ramirez has put the Guardians on top. Tristan McKenzie was in trouble in each of the first two innings. In the first inning, trouble's a little strong in the first inning. They had a runner on first, one out. But in the second inning, the Red Sox had the bases loaded, one out. And he got a couple of strikeouts to end the inning. And now there's a runner on first and nobody out in the top half of the third. So 5 base runners by McKenzie. But no runs. He's got a big cushion here. We'll see what he can do with it. He does have 5 strikeouts, so that's good to see. It's a second straight start. He's had a number of strikeouts. And my man, Tyvis Powell, mentioned on the UCSS earlier to take the over on the McKenzie strikeouts, and I believe that's 5, and he's at 5 right now. The Red Sox just scored. Actually, Rob Refsnyder just tripled home Devers. So it's 5-1. But Guardians still in good shape in this game. We'll see what McKenzie can do to get through at least 5 innings in this one and save the bullpen a little bit. Meanwhile, again, before we get to the NFL draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers are in action tonight at 7 p.m. And, of course, this podcast, the live podcast, is brought to you by Bet Rivers. And if you want to join me yet again, and I hope you will, tonight, after the Cavs play game 3 against the Magic in a game that should end probably just before 10 o'clock, I will be putting out another podcast. That one won't be live tonight, but I'll put out another podcast reacting to either the Cavs taking a commanding 3-0 lead in the best of 7 series in Orlando or the Magic getting back in the series. So we'll see how that goes. And it's all courtesy of Bet Rivers. Speaking of that game and speaking of Bet Rivers, the Orlando Magic are a 2.5-point favorite in game 3. I know a lot of Cavs fans are shocked by this, but remember, things are very different at home. The others usually play a lot better at home. We saw that with the Cavs last year, and We'll see with the Magic. I think the Magic are going to win tonight, and then the Cavs will win 4 and 5 and ultimately win the series in 5 games. But we'll see. Speaking of the NBA playoffs and Bet Rivers, you know I talk about the app all the time. The Bet Rivers app is the best. Take advantage of it now. Bet Rivers offers oh-so-close parlay insurance during the NBA playoffs. Place a parlay of 4 or more legs on an NBA playoff game each day. You get part of your stake back in bonus bets if you're exactly 1 leg short of hitting your parlay. The insurance is valid on your first NBA parlay of the day. See the Bet Rivers app for more details and to see how much stake back you're eligible for. So again, very important. Go check the app. Excuse me. Go check the Bet Rivers app for details on that. It's a great deal we got going on for you right now. Plus, speaking of other great deals, every Tuesday and Friday, I give you the Bet with the Bull, a baseball parlay. I hit both Tuesday and Friday last week. Unfortunately, this Tuesday, my parlay was a loser. You can't win them all, unfortunately. I actually lost 2 of 3 games. But it was a loser this Tuesday, so we try to bounce back tomorrow. So I'll have another parlay for you tomorrow. I'll post either a video or I'll put a tweet out about it, but probably late morning or early afternoon tomorrow, that'll be the case. Red Sox have scored again. It's 5-2 on a sacrifice fly. Red Sox still batting in the top of the third, and Tristan McKenzie now officially over. He's gone over. Nice job, Tyvis. He's gone over on the strikeout prop for him. As for what to expect from the Cavs tonight, I think, you know, the Cavs have showed us in these first two games of the Eastern Conference playoffs that they are a tougher team than we saw last year against the Knicks. And while the Knicks are a much better team last year than the Magic are this year, they're still the similar type of team in terms of being physical, big, tough guys. And the Cavs got out-physicaled by the Knicks last year, outplayed, but also out-physicaled. They seemed intimidated. Jared Allen admitted the lights were too bright for them. Not been the case this year. The Cavs have not been pushed around. They've stood up to them physically. But do they have the killer instinct? That we don't know yet. That we will find out about tonight, because the Cavs need to take care of business. They win tonight, and they can easily sweep this series. And we'll see, to the Cavs, because the Cavs haven't played great basketball in these first two games. They've won them. They played very well on the defensive end, but offensively, they've struggled. They haven't shot the ball well. So I want to see the Cavs come out here, get that lead like they've done the first two games in Cleveland. And Orlando's not a team that plays well from behind, but they are much better at home. And so get that lead and have them stress out, because if you take this game, the Magic probably fall apart, and it's a sweep, and that would be pretty sweet, and then you get some rest. We already know Boston and Miami will play at least 5 games in that series after Miami won game 2 last night. So the Cavs, if they can sweep this series and wrap it up on Saturday, will have the fourth game is Saturday at 1 in 50 hours from now. This series could be over if the Cavs take care of business. And we'll see if they got that killer instinct to step on the throat of a team that's in big trouble. Or they're going to get lackadaisical, not play to the best of their ability, not improve on the bad offensive effort that we've seen in the first two games, and let the Magic get back in the series. Hopefully that won't be the case. Got some messages on the YouTube chat already. Finey says, Bull, happy Pesach. Same to you, Finey. It is Passover for those who celebrate. We had Passover started Monday night. We had a little Passover Seder with friends on Sunday, even though it technically hadn't started yet. Finey also has a Browns question. We'll get to that in a little bit. As I said, we'll bring on Mary Kay in a few minutes. Let's see. Monzi says Cavs will win. Let's hope so. I hope you're right. I have a hunch they're going to lose tonight and then win 4 and 5 and win it in 5. I can't believe I picked the Magic to win the series in the beginning. I was in a dark place, and I was saying stupid things, and that was stupid. Cavs are going to win the series, but I don't know. I'll be very impressed if they win tonight. Not easy to go on the road after what they did last year. If they take care of business here, I'm going to feel really differently about this team. A very popular guy on Twitter, of course, but he's in the chat. Dark Nasty Ass Master says, What's up, Bull? Longtime fan. Been listening to you almost every day since you started in Cleveland in 2011. From one baseball-loving Jewish guy to another, go Guards. All right, good to know that we learn more about you, Dark Nasty Ass Master. Good job out of you. So, yeah, it was 2011. I was just talking about it because I actually we're thinking about I need to put a new roof on my house. My roof is over 20 years old. So I met with a guy who I know when I first moved to Northeast Ohio in 2011, I was renting a house in Lakewood, my wife and I. And the guy that owned the house is a guy named Drew Smith. And Drew is the owner. He's now the president and co-owner of Brad Smith Roofing here in Northeast Ohio. So I've known Drew, but we haven't really been in touch the last few years. And he came by the house to look at our roof today, and we were catching up, and we were talking about how long I've been living in the area, and he just couldn't believe it, how long it's been. But, yeah, August 18th will be 13 years that I've been living in Northeast Ohio. Freddie B., Bull getting skinny. I see you. Thank you, Freddie B. I've lost a little weight. This week's been a little bit of a challenge, and I'm going away this weekend. I'm going to be in New Jersey this weekend, so I'm going to admit I'm going to eat some pizza when I'm in New Jersey. Quick trip in for the weekend, then I'll be back and back on track on Monday. Joe says you should do the postgame live for fan interaction. Just my opinion. Yeah, Joe, we did do some of that. That will happen in the future. Not tonight, but I will do some postgame stuff live in the future. Certainly if the Guardians get in the playoffs, I think I may do it in the second round of the NBA playoffs. Not tonight, and Saturday I'm away, so I'm not doing a show. But second round of the playoffs, that could become a thing. That could definitely become a thing. Let's see. All right, let's get to the football stuff. So the Browns, as we said, no draft pick today. We'll bring in Mary Kay to join me in just a minute, just a couple of minutes. I doubt they're going to trade up into the first round. I'd even be somewhat surprised if they traded up within the second round. So I wouldn't expect to see anything from them today. Obviously, everybody's going to be locked into the Cavs playoff game. The storylines for you, the Browns fan, is what do the other teams in the AFC North do? What do the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Ravens all do in the first round? I don't know how much people care, but, you know, that'll be a storyline, something to keep an eye on in tonight's draft, since all three of those teams do have a first-round pick. In terms of what the Browns are going to do tomorrow, you know, with their second and third round picks. We've talked a lot about it already. If you missed the podcast I did yesterday, it was really good. We did a draft preview yesterday with David Siverston, from Our Lads. And if you missed that podcast, go check it out because he gave you some great insight on not only the draft and, you know, some of the first round stuff, but what the Browns might do in the second round. He had some interesting thoughts on Deshaun Watson and Nick Chubb and the Browns' offensive tackle situation. He also commented on that. In terms of the draft, though, listen, we've talked about this before. The Browns are in a position to take the best player available. I do think that the most likely positions, because of, I guess, a little need, but just more about who's available and how good they are and how good the position groups are. I think defensive tackle, offensive line, I shouldn't even say defensive tackle, defensive line, offensive line, and wide receiver, and maybe even running back are all very likely in play for the Browns in the second round. None of those things would surprise. The only thing that would shock me in the second round is if they took a quarterback. That would obviously be very surprising. Nothing else would shock me. Even positions that we're not really thinking about, like corner or safety or something like that, like none of that would really shock me in the end if they ended up going with any of those positions. But I do think if I had to bet, I would say defensive line and wide receiver most likely. And after that, O-line and running back would probably be next. Finney tweets, Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver, good choice for the Browns. I've heard his name, Pearsall. Listen, I'm not going to lie. I'm always honest about it. I don't know these draft prospects well enough to know how good Ricky Pearsall is going to be. But they I'll be very surprised that the Browns don't draft a wide receiver at some point. The third round's been a bad thing for them, but that doesn't mean they should avoid it this year. Germ says the Giants reportedly looking to trade up for Drake May. We'll see. I don't know if I believe a lot of rumors today. All right. Joining me now on the podcast, the lovely and talented Mary Kay Cabot, the best Browns beat reporter in town. Mary Kay, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Adam?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited about the draft, even though the Browns don't pick tonight. I mean, it's a fun time. The Guardians are playing great. The Cavs are up 2-0. They got a playoff game tonight, and now we got the draft. And as you know better than anybody, I mean, for so many years, we were talking draft from November until now. But in recent years, we don't spend as much time on it because the Browns have been better, and they haven't had a first-round pick, and they don't today. Somebody was asking earlier today, could you see the Browns trading up to the first round or even early in the second round? I said I doubt it. Do you think there's any chance they end up in the first round today?
No, I don't. I don't think so at all. I think they'll either be happy to stay at 54 or maybe do a little bit of moving around in that second round. I do not see them trying to get back into the first round. It would cost too much draft capital.
Right.
It would cost too much personnel capital, and I don't see that happening.
You know, when it comes to that second round pick, even the last 2 years, they haven't had, well, they traded their second round pick as part of the Elijah Moore trade last year. They didn't have a second round pick. They traded down the year before that. If they stay at 54 or somewhere near there, obviously defensive line's been talked about, wide receiver, certainly offensive line. But in the end, Mary Kay, I guess the only thing that would shock me is if they took a quarterback, because they're in a position to really just take the best player available. And even if that's in a position like tight end or running back, and I guess I wouldn't be surprised by anything but a running back because they don't have any desperate needs as I see it. Do you see it that way or no?
First, you said quarterback at first, and then you said running back. So I think you meant quarterback.
Yes,
right?
Sorry. Quarterback is the only thing that would shock me. That's it.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to clarify.
Yes,
I don't think, I also don't think it would be a running back at 54.
Okay.
Now, maybe if they moved back, they traded down, then maybe you could kind of talk about a running back getting into play. But I would be surprised if they, obviously, it would be shocked if they went quarterback there.
Yeah.
And I would be very surprised if they went running back there.
Okay.
But like you said, everything else is in play. You know, I think I know a lot of people are talking about receiver, and I would not be disappointed for them if they did that. But I don't know if they're going to do it. I think they have a lot of pass catchers right now. And all things being equal, they might go in another direction just because they're stopped at the position and there's only so many places that you can go with the football. So not super sure about that. As far as the defense is concerned, I don't know. Some people have them taking a linebacker there. I'm not seeing that either, really, because they don't love linebackers.
No.
So why would you spend your very first pick on a position that you don't love or that you don't view as a premium spot?
Right.
So I don't really see that happening either.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the D-line and the O-line, it's interesting because they have good depth on both the D-line and the O-line. However, most of their good players on the D-line and the O-line are old. And so I think even though those are positions where they have good depth and where if they drafted a guy in one of those positions, it's unlikely that he's starting year one, neither of those would be a big surprise because they're always thinking ahead a little bit. And especially on the D-line, Mary Kay, they got a lot of guys on short-term deals, and they're eventually going to have to find some long-term replacements for some of those guys.
That is so true. When you look at the defensive line, I'm just looking at even at the end position, you've got Za'Darius Smith on a one-year contract, and you're going to need to plug somebody else in there. And they really haven't used a very high pick on a defensive end lately in recent years. So I do think that maybe that's a spot that you could look at. And then you mentioned the offensive line. This is a team that's built tough through the lines. They love to beef up their offensive line and their defensive line. It's why they will have sustained success. So I would also look at guards, maybe more so than tackles, because the guards are starting to get to the point where you might have to think about the future there a little bit. And if you could end up with your next Joel Bitonio in the second round, why wouldn't you want to do that?
Yeah, that'll be interesting because obviously Joel is still really good, but he's getting old. It's going to be a tricky situation. You know, some of these guys, these offensive linemen, they're good, and then they just fall off a cliff. You just never know when that's going to happen. So that'll be an interesting thing to see. And you talked about the defensive line as Za'Darius Smith and maybe an option there. I agree with you on linebacker. They have not made that a priority. But I'm curious. JOK is going to be a free agent at the end of the 24 season. It's so funny because in 2022, he looked like he couldn't play in the NFL. And in 2023, he looked like one of the best linebackers in the NFL, which is remarkable. But what do you think their plan is? We've talked about that. They don't spend high draft capital. They don't spend a lot of money on linebacker. Do you think they're already looking at extending JOK or not so fast?
I think they will look at extending JOK. I think they're very excited about him. And when you talk about his 2022 season, the thing to remember about JOK is that that was a season in which he lost his very close brother in the offseason.
True.
In a very, very tragic situation. And it rocked his world, obviously. And I just don't think he was ever the same the whole entire season. Yeah. So he's starting to put the pieces back together and work through some of that grief. And I think that his talent really came out. He even had trouble keeping weight on the previous year. So I really think that he kind of came into his own last year. And I think the arrow is still pointing north for him. So I do think that they will extend him at some point, maybe before the season, maybe a little bit into the season, but I think they love him and want to keep him around.
Do you think I know this is a big if, but if DeJuan Jones and Jack Conklin are both healthy at the start of the year, who do you believe will be the starting right tackle?
It's a great question. I really don't know what they're going to do there. I think what DeJuan showed so much potential. I think you're going to want to get him on the field. You've caught lightning in a bottle with him, mm-hmm. and you just don't want to put him on the bench right now. He's right. just too good. So I think you have to find a way to get him on the field one way or the other. And maybe, who knows, maybe they put the three of them out there and they go with the best two in training camp. Mm-hmm. You're also going to be dealing with health with those guys. So it could be a matter of who's going to be healthiest at the beginning of the season. So these are all considerations.
Do you think they have any long-term thoughts about moving him to left tackle? You know, if they're going to let Jed Wills walk at the end of this year, or do you think their plan is just for him to stay at right tackle long-term?
For right now, it's for him to stay at right tackle. And the way that Andrew Berry looks at the tackle position is he doesn't really differentiate that much between the right tackle and the left tackle. Mm. So if he feels that he's got DeJuan at the right tackle position and he's doing a great job there, and Jed is doing absolutely fine over on the left side, then he won't find any reason to shake that up, unless it becomes apparent that he has to do something else. But for right now, I think he's happy with what he's got. If for some reason they decide to move on from Jed, then you have an option of moving DeJuan over there to left tackle, and I think he would be an amazing left tackle.
One other guy that's coming up for a contract somewhat soon is Greg Newsome, Mary Kay, he hasn't been great for the Browns after he's their last first round pick, but he's been solid. He's a solid, slot. I know he doesn't really want to be the slot corner, but that's where he's best on this team because the other two guys are better than him. At least I think that. What do you think his future is with the Browns?
We keep asking Andrew Berry about the rumors about Greg Newsome getting traded, and he keeps telling us that he has no plans to do that. Right. And I'm taking him at face value because he's never been a general manager that is dishonest with us about those kinds of things. If he was going to trade him, then I think he would kind of hedge around that question a little bit and not be so definitive. But he's saying, I'm not going to give away good cornerbacks, and I'm going to believe him. I do not see him trading Greg Newsome. As far as his long-term future, I've been writing over and over again that they'll pick up his fifth-year option, which has to be done by May 2nd. So I believe they'll do that. And then you kind of go from there. After that, you take your time a little bit, maybe see how he does this season, and that will help inform or determine if you want to go out and give him the big blockbuster extension.
Final thing, Mary Kay, how are you feeling right now about Deshaun and Nick Chubb and where they're at physically as they both try to get over significant injuries heading into the 24 season?
Well, let me start with Nick because that one's a little bit easier. I think Nick needs more time. I don't think he's going to be ready to start the very beginning of the season. Yeah. I think we're going to have to look at somewhere in the first half of the season, you're hoping to get him on the field. nobody can give any definitive answers on that right now because they have to see how things go over the next 2 months. And I mean, this is not an exact science to come back from a devastating, crushing injury like this.
Right.
And he's a freak of nature. He heals better than most people on this earth do. So we can't put anything past him, but we also must give him the grace and the patience to come back in the time that he needs. And as far as Deshaun is concerned, Deshaun seems to be on track to start the season. Nothing's changed about that. The only thing is going to be, when does he perform in the offseason? When does he practice full go in training camp? Is he going to play any preseason games, or do they just keep working towards that September 8th date for him to be able to start the opener?
Wait, you're not going to Detroit, are you? Or are you going to be at the Browns facility?
Yeah, I'll be at the Browns facility. And tonight I will be fighting over the television here in the living room with my husband, who will be wanting to watch the Cavs game.
Sure.
And I will be wanting to watch the draft and some Cavs. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Let's go. Yeah, I mean, you kick his ass. Let's take care of business there.
I got that.
Thank you, Mary Kay. Appreciate you taking the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Mary Kay Cabot joining us live. We are so lucky to have her live during the podcast today. That was great. She gave you the insight. The only thing that I was surprised that she said was that she'd be surprised if it running back. I said only quarterback would surprise me. She said also running back would surprise her if they drafted in the second round. And I'm going to trust her on that because she obviously has a really good feel for this team and what they're going to do. Guardians leading 5-2 in the bottom of the fourth. And speaking of the Guardians, there was somebody had me a question about the Guardians in the chat. Where was it? Joe says, what starting pitchers do you have your eye on that the Guardians could potentially trade for? I do have my eye. I have my eye on Jesus Luzardo of the Marlins. The numbers don't look good right now. He's gotten off to a little bit of a rough start, but he's been an excellent pitcher, a lot of strikeouts. Guardians are desperate for pitch. Oh, incorrect. Not desperate because they're playing very well, so they're not desperate. But at some point, they're going to need pitchers. We've now had a setback with Gavin Williams. I'm still nervous about McKenzie, although McKenzie's been better these last two starts. Bieber's out for the year. I don't have a ton of faith in Carrasco. Lively's pitched really well, but I don't have a ton of faith in him. So they're going to need a pitcher at some point. Even before the Gavin Williams setback, I thought they needed a pitcher. Lizardo's the guy I got my eye on. You're going to have to give up a big-time prospect to get him, but that's fine. It's time for the Guardians to do that. This division is theirs for the taking. Let's go. Go get it. Be aggressive. On a less expensive note, a guy like Paul Blackburn or J.P. Sears could be interesting from Oakland, but my number one target right now is Jesus Luzardo. He's the guy that has me most interested on the trade front. I don't expect it to happen anytime soon. But I don't know that I have much faith that the Guardians will make that kind of trade at all, but I hope I'm wrong about that. And I hope they'll be aggressive eventually on the pitching staff. Jerm says Giants. Not Jerm. We got that already. Fenny, Jersey, Sally Slices Pizza in Hamilton Square. I got a place that I'm going to. I did check out, Dave Portnoy. I like his pizza reviews. He and I have similar taste in pizza because all the places he's been to that I've been to, we've normally agreed. So I'm kind of with Dave on that. So I looked at a couple of Jersey places. I wanted to try a new place in Jersey. And so I found a place. He made fun of the name. I think it was called Perfect Pizza, but he was like, it was really good. And it looked like the type of pizza I'm looking for. I think it's in, I can't remember what town it's in. It's not Hoboken or Jersey City. North, I don't remember. But anyway, I'm going to shoot there. I'm going to New Jersey for like 48 hours. That's it. My nephew's in a show. We're going to see that. I'm meeting up with my fourth and sixth grade teacher who I haven't seen in years. So it's going to be cool. Sally Slices. All right, another time. Angela, why won't they call Bauer? That ship has sailed. They're not interested in Bauer. It's just not going to happen. I want to know the Brown schedule also, Chutu, but it's not out there yet. It is not out there yet. I think that comes out in May at some point. And we'll all be excited when that happens. All right. Thanks to everybody for joining me in the chat as always. Thanks to Mary Kay Cabot for joining me live during the show. Thanks to Monzo and Max for producing. I'm going to put out a podcast tonight. It'll be out late tonight, recapping the Cavs and Magic Game 3. Like I said, we'll try to do some live post-game in the next round, potentially. Certainly for baseball playoffs, we'll do something there. But tonight, I'll put out the podcast as soon as the game's over, and we'll put it out. We'll get it out to you as soon as possible. But thanks again, everybody, for joining me. Please hit the subscribe button if you haven't done so already. I'll talk to you next time. Where else but right here in the bullpen with Adam the Bull, brought to you by Bet Rivers. See you, everybody. Check out that Bet Rivers app.
Thanks for listening to The Bullpen with Adam the Bull on the Bet Rivers Network.